You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are here to bring you this important announcement. The Decibel Geek podcast has been canceled this week.
It has?
It has.
Sort of.
Well, we're sitting in an empty studio.
We are.
Bare walls. It's all bare walls. We got a laptop on the floor. We've got two microphones and a soundboard, and that's basically all that's in here.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a little kid, my mama sat me on her knee. She told me, boy, you listen, there's a lot you ought to see.
That sounds familiar.
Living in the suburbs, it's bound to tie you down. You'll miss a lot of concerts if you don't move close to town. And I took those words, and I'm moving into town.
That's what she told you.
That's what she told me, and I got all the, she's right. You know, I thought about it long and hard all these years, and I'm like, here we are living out in Laverne, Tennessee,
yeah.
When, you know, Ace is off to college now, and it's just me and the wife, and it's time to get a little closer back into the city, back into Music City, so I don't miss all these awesome concerts and stuff all the time.
All right.
Besides, I got a new job that's right downtown, so, you know, it's all going to work out better, but we're going to definitely miss the Decibel Geek studio for sure.
Yeah, tonight's the last night we're in this studio,
yeah.
And a lot of cool memories in this place.
Yep, a lot of awesome people have sat in here with us and told us all kinds of great stories, but yeah, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, it's always the great memories in here and everything, but it's kind of sad to see it this way.
Yeah, it's a little sad. I'm excited for the new place.
Yeah. So we didn't really have time to do a show this week,
right.
But we got some really cool stuff going on, and we want to give you guys a sample of what our special VIPs have been getting, the Torpedo Dudes. Now, last week, we had Greg Troyan on the show with us to do our Thin Lizzy discussion, and he was awesome.
He was great.
We had so much fun with him.
We did.
And laughed and had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, when the three of us are cutting up about Kiss, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm most proud of, the episode we've done.
So the one you're going to hear today is actually Torpedo Dudes number 7, right?
Right. Yep.
So there's 6 other ones that are there available to you now. If you want to become a Decibel Geek VIP, you can go to patreon.com and look up Decibel Geek and then pick your level of commitment. And there's all kinds of different things you can get, and Torpedo Dudes is just one of them.
Yeah. And so we thought this week would be a good way to give you, you know, a way we still give you some fresh material, and you get an episode and you get to see kind of what you're missing if you're not signed up.
Right. So I know you've got Rock and Pod Expo announcements.
I do.
Do you want to wait till after Torpedo Dudes, or do you want to talk about it right now?
Let's do it after. I think
okay.
I like that idea.
All right. So then I guess we'll just get right into it. So this is the latest edition of Torpedo Dudes that our VIPs on Patreon get on a normal basis. So if you want to get in on this, like I said, go to Patreon, become a Decibel Geek VIP.
Mm-hmm.
And so for your listening pleasure, for the Kiss fans, enjoy this week's episode of the Torpedo Dudes. Torpedo Dudes, here we are.
What's up?
Howdy.
We got a guest tonight. We got Greg. He's going to be appearing on the Decibel Geek podcast with us, and we're going to be talking about Thin Lizzy. But we thought, let's talk to Greg about Kiss, because Greg's a young dude, and he loves Kiss.
I mean, you know, I'm on the verge of not being young anymore, so I'm
younger than us.
I'm still in my 20s, so I'm like, I'm on the fence, like, oh, he's just about to be old.
Right.
But okay. not quite yet. I'm still, what, Peter Criss was, what, 29 when he was the first Kiss album? Was he 27, something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, so late 20s, so I'm a short Italian. I have a huge penis with a nickname, so same age. So basically, I'm just the Peter Criss of this room.
Nice. Well, shit, it should be a matter of time then.
Right.
So you should threaten to quit anytime.
Yes, I'm going to quit this podcast, and I'm going to shoot up this room with a shotgun.
He's going to go inside.
Do all the cocaine.
The studio. He's going to go in the house. He's going to shoot my TV, and then he's going to storm out.
Right.
Yeah, so... you know, this is definitely interesting as a Patreon donor to like listen to be a part of the show I donate to receive.
Nice.
It's like this like Inception thing happening here. I'm kind of digging it. It's like I'm listening to the episode in the future.
Right.
Now.
Man, you don't even have to wait for this one. You get to be part of it.
Yeah, so like I'm in your guys' house, so I don't know how you want to run this Torpedo Dudes episode, so...
Well, when did you first discover Kiss, and how old were you?
I was 14 when I discovered Kiss. Saw them on the Rock the Nation tour. Wow. That was my first tour, so I started with Tommy and Eric, and I thought it was Ace and Peter.
Yeah.
And my dad said, look, it's Ace and Peter.
He didn't know?
He didn't know either.
Oh, wow.
So...
See, fooled everybody.
Bamboozled.
I was mad, but you know, I didn't really care because it was about the experience. It was
right. Fun. Yeah.
But when people say, you know, are people mixing them up for Ace and Peter? I'm like, yeah, they are.
So when your dad comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to take you to see Kiss. You'd never even heard of them before.
I don't even know. I'd seen the pictures.
Yeah.
So, by the way, Chris, I'm not looking at you because it's way easier to talk into the mic when I just stare at Aaron's beautiful eyes.
I'm used to being ignored. It's fine.
Right, but I still love you dearly.
Oh, I love you too.
Aw, shucks. But I was actually supposed to go with my aunt. She was like a huge Kiss fan, and then she got really sick the day of, so then my dad went with me instead, and he was like a kind of casual fan. Like, he had Rock and Roll Over. I saw the record in the house.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't really into music as a kid, so like they got me Kiss action figures when I was younger, and I'm just like, I don't I guess I'll play with them, but I don't really care or know who these guys are. They're kind of cool, I guess. Mm. And then I saw Kiss live, and I was just blown away instantly. Yeah. For the first song, I was infatuated by Gene Simmons because he was like the cool one, the demon with the tongue. Right. And then after I got through the entire show, I'm like, you know, this Paul guy is way better.
Wow.
And never went back.
Does a lot of work it. Yeah.
So Paul's still your guy to this day?
I mean, Peter's like my guy, but like the guy where I wouldn't want to work with him because I worked with a stupid Italian drummer before, so I completely get, like, I've worked with
all... The views and opinions expressed by Greg today are not necessarily those of Desmond.
But the thing is, I've worked with the different personality types in Kiss, so I respect Paul the most, but I kind of acknowledge that I'm like Gene in a lot of ways I don't want to be. Like, okay, I start a million projects and don't finish them nearly as well as I should, and I'm a bit of a sex addict. Okay, so there's the Gene thing. But I run things a lot like a Paul. I kind of have a bit more cohesive vision like a Paul, but I've worked with drugged-up guitar players. I've worked with guitar players that insist on shredding all the time and then threatening me with legal action over the smallest thing.
All right, so you got your Ace, you got your Vinny.
I've got my Vinny. Yeah. I had, like, plenty of guys who were in the band for, like, a day and quit, so I've had several Mark St. Johns.
Yeah. Did any of them have a hand that swole up really bad?
Actually, yes.
I was kidding.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot about that guy.
Most people do.
I had a guy who was really bad with stage presence, and just like, I have to stand still and play it properly.
There's your Bruce.
I had the Bruce.
Yeah.
And I've had, like, you know, the really professional, like, hired gun drummers, like, just pay me and I'll do the gig perfectly.
There you go. So, there's your Eric Singer.
I haven't had any band members die on me, so
that's good.
But yeah,
everything else is kind of Spinal Tap-ish, but that's good.
But yeah, so like when I hear Gene and Paul talk about, like, man, those guys are dicks. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I kind of get it. I still love Peter's music, and he's still my dude. But also, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in a band with him either. I'd rather be in a band with these sober dudes who are really competent and show up on time and play the parts well.
It makes it easier.
That's a good perspective. You know, people don't think about that sometimes.
It is a job for those guys, after
right?
All.
Yeah, try forming a band with a stupid Italian drummer and a drum guitarist. See how much fun you have.
Again, the views and opinions expressed by Greg Torian today.
Funny as they may be.
And look, I'm going to say, give credit, you know, Peter, he wrote a book with the help of a friend, so, he, you know, I'm sure he is able to read at this point in his life, so good for him.
Oh, man. Yeah, Ace wrote a book with the help of many, many friends.
Yeah.
And look, Ace is clean and sober.
That's awesome.
And good for him, and he's playing with, you know, our buddies, you know, Phil and Jeremy and Ryan and those dudes. So, I mean, I've got a lot of love for those guys, so I crack jokes, but I love Kiss. They're one of my favorite bands.
Totally.
I wouldn't have bought all the damn CDs of it and like the band as much as I do. So there's, you know, I crack jokes, but I love them. But, you know, by that same token, like, I totally get where Gene and Paul are coming from. That's totally valid.
Yeah, it makes sense. It totally is valid.
But you're the kind of Kiss fan we like to hang out with, because it's like, if you're able to poke fun at them, then I'm cool with you. It's just the ones that are like, lap up every single thing they serve up, and then like
it's that
drives me up the wall.
The fans who will just blow any member of Kiss at any given time for anything they do.
I'm noticing that a lot.
And look, like, and it's not even 80s Paul Stanley when he was hot, and you could question your sexuality. Like, ah, shit, you know.
Oh, wow.
Like, well,
normally I wouldn't, but you are the star child.
you are the star child, and you've got those sweet abs and that blue thong on the crazy night.
God, I'm going to hate Kiss by the end of this.
I mean, that's my goal, is just be completely self-aware about Kiss and convince you to hate them by the end of the episode.
Maybe Sisko was singing about Paul Stanley.
I think so. Well, Desmond Child wrote the song.
Yeah.
They don't see
and Desmond
all
Child the, did write with Francisco.
We just connected some dots there.
So Kiss is my fourth favorite band. Where do they rank in your personal rankings
They're
of favorite
still
bands?
They're number one for me.
You're going to acknowledge your favorite band is the band that wrote Bang Bang You, right?
Yeah.
Where do they rank for you, Aaron?
For me, I mean, I wouldn't blow them, but I'm an Ace Frehley guy, you know?
I mean, Ace Frehley would blow you, though, so it's okay.
Last of all, I don't know.
Just ask Peter Criss.
Yeah.
There'd be no question who blew who first.
Kiss is still, I don't know that they'll ever be unseated as my number one. They're too ingrained in my DNA at this point.
Yeah, like, they're a band. I was actually thinking about this earlier today, how I really want a psychologist to do a documentary on Kiss, because I love Kiss. They're a great band, but they have like such a stranglehold on the psyche of their fans where it's a little bit frightening.
Sometimes, yeah.
A little.
Actually, very frightening. Like, I was with a friend at a club one time, and we were both in the bathroom together, and he just asked me, like, hey, man, so what Kiss song do you think about when you pee? And the thing is,
I can't stop the rain?
But, and the but here's the so the answer was Deuce.
Well, that's when you're taking a shit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I've since talked with a number of Kiss fans, like, yeah, of course I think about Kiss when I pee. And it's just like frightening how much like Kiss is on the mind all the time for people.
Oh, Chris, man. Be honest.
Oh, I'm being honest.
Do you think about Kiss when you pee?
At times, I'm sure.
I guess at times I probably am too.
I mean, I'm using my love gun. I have to think about them.
Yeah. Well, for me, I found like I relax more if I'm thinking about a song when peeing. So like Deuce, just like it chills me out.
Instead of thinking about baseball, you're thinking about Kiss.
Right. I'm thinking about Kiss. When I want to think of something incredibly unsexy to make my penis limp, Gene Simmons right away.
Yeah. Especially the sex tank.
That T-shirt.
Socks. I love that on Kiss message boards, when that tape came out, people started nicknaming Gene Socks.
Socks.
So we should say some nice things about Kiss. How do we derail this into positivity?
Well, this is why we do Torpedo Dudes, so we can continue talking about them in any fashion we want. And this is what you get what you pay for, people. This is worth your dollar.
Worth a dollar a month.
This is your dollar. Oh, man.
Oh, man, we've only been going 10 minutes.
I know.
Well, I mean, you said you wanted to go into my history. Did you have any other questions?
So then, I mean, where does it go from there? You see Kiss, you're blown away. I mean, how does it consume you at that point?
You start buying everything?
Well, so, I mean, so the thing to remember is, like, I had basically no knowledge of music before this show. I had one CD, and it was a Queen CD. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, you know, I liked the Beatles, and I liked Queen and Michael Jackson, but I wasn't really a music fan.
Okay.
Which Queen album?
It was Queen Greatest Hits 3, because it was the only CD I could find that had Princes of the Universe on it.
Highlander song.
Yeah, there's this thing called anime music videos,
right,
where like people take a song, usually a shitty like Linkin Park song, uh-huh, and then like, you know, make a music video to an anime. And so I saw it to Dragon Ball Z, which is all just like dudes fighting all the time. And so it was Princess of the Universe, like, this song is sweet, I need to buy a CD of this band immediately.
Wow.
But didn't really like music until the Kiss show, where then it clicked with me. I'm like, whoa, music can be cool, because I grew up in the 90s, so it was like grunge and boy bands. And so I was like, man, music is really shitty and terrible. I don't understand why anyone would want to pick up a guitar or make music, because I assumed boy bands and grunge was everything.
Right. Yeah.
And so then I discovered Kiss, and I checked out some Poison songs because they played at the show too, and then just went down the rabbit hole where I'm like, I need to learn about music, because I knew all my friends, they were all into bands. I'm like, man, I don't know shit. I got to like do some research. So I'm like, who are these Deep Purple guys? Oh, who's nice. This Dio cat? Yeah. Who's Rat? And just like went through and checked out a bunch of bands and, you know, got the entire Kiss catalog slowly, watched Extreme, Close Up, and Confidential religiously.
So
I really resonated with the Revenge lineup. That, even though the Tommy and Eric lineup was the first lineup I saw, the Revenge lineup felt like my Kiss lineup.
That was the one I
gravitated towards and, like, you know, became a huge Bruce Kulick fan. I own Audio Dog.
I own Audio Dog
and the Union albums. I even have the Japanese import of the Union album. I have both versions, one that has, like, the Beatles cover and one that has the song where Bruce sings. Like, man, I go deep with this band. Like, I mean, I went through the catalog and, you know, pretty much loved it all. Magic Bullet Theory, even.
Oh, Mark St. John.
Good
shredding on that.
I mean, I've got, you know, some Black and Blue records. Like, I pretty much went deep into each member. I have, you know, John Beauvoir albums.
Nice.
So, like, I really enjoyed just the different personalities is what makes Kiss interesting for me.
Right.
If it was just the original four guys, I wouldn't be as interested. No. But when you have
so many branches.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just talking about this. We did a Crazy Nights episode for the podcast I do, and we were talking about how great it was that Kiss brought the world Diane Warren and Desmond Child, like two great pop songwriters that Kiss pretty much introduced to the populace.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that.
So there's just so many.
What did Desmond Child really do before Kiss other than just his own
Rouge
stuff?
Yeah,
and then I Was Made for Loving You was his breakout song.
That set him in motion. And then Diane Warren with what'd she write for Crazy? Turn on the Night and Reason to Live, right?
I don't know if she wrote Reason to Live, but
I think Desmond Child wrote that.
Yeah.
But she Turn on the Night, she did do.
Yeah, and that was like one of her first big releases. Like, it wasn't like a hit, still one of the first, you know, songs on a major release that she got to do. So Kiss was bringing up talented people left and right, so.
Yeah.
So Kiss is to blame for the Thong Song.
Yes. Yeah. The Thong Song is great. Who doesn't love the Thong Song?
It's nice having you on the show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you guys liked to party.
Not with Cisco.
I think I'm at the wrong party.
Oh, man. But yeah, I don't know. Some people would blame Kiss for unleashing Desmond Child and Diane Warren onto the world.
Yeah, but you know what? Do you really want to be friends with those people?
I don't. I like all that stuff.
Because, like, at the end of the day, we're really just listening to pop music. It's just pop music with rock and metal affectations. Mm. Kiss is basically a 60s pop band with heavy guitars.
Oh, totally. Totally. You can hear so much Beatles in the Kiss over the years in all that music.
And even just watching them on stage, like Paul, like, you know, bopping his foot. Like, that's totally like a 60s pop move. Like, all the stage stuff. It's overdone, but you can see where they got it from.
Eddie Cochran and...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff.
And that's a cool thing, too, because like the Beatles and Kiss, was the personalities, like you talked about, the four distinct different guys in the band. Mm-hmm. And there haven't been a whole lot of bands that have ever been able to achieve that, to have, you know, superstars within the band. You know, you had the Beatles did it, mm-hmm. because everybody had their favorite Beatle.
Mm-hmm.
The Monkees, because they were kind of like the Beatles. The Eagles had all different members that mm-hmm. sang and played all their different instruments. Everybody had a favorite. But other than that...
You know, there's a few others. I'd say Styx.
Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Styx had the different singers, because you had the Dennis DeYoung, you had Tommy Shaw, you had James Young.
But that's more of a 50-50 split, I think.
Yeah, well, that was... pardon me. Sorry, that was three singers. So I'd say, but yeah, it was mostly split between Dennis and Tommy for the most part.
Yeah, you had the weird stuff and then the rocking stuff.
Yeah, so with... You know, and it's so hard to replicate. One of my original goals with Lipstick, the band that I front, was to have a Kiss type setup where each member wrote and sang. Like, because two of my favorite band is the Beatles, and then Kiss is number four. So two of my top 10 favorite bands have that same setup.
Right.
And so I thought it'd be really sweet if I got people who could sing and write, and you had the different personalities. But the problem is, not everybody has vision.
Right.
And not everyone has, like, you know, the balls to get up there and sing and write their own songs. And so, like, being in bands made me realize, like, what a miracle it was that Kiss existed in the first place.
Right, true.
Because, you know, trying to start a band with a completely original look and a sound that's distinct and different from what's going on. Yeah. Like, it's still commercially accessible, but it was definitely different. Like, the fact that they made that work is a miracle.
Well, it's a matter, I think, of the stars aligning, literally. You know, mm-hmm. if you talk about within the band like that, you got four different superstars coming together and creating one thing, and they're cohesive in it. That's an amazing, a magical
kind of
miracle.
It's mind-blowing, because, you know, as someone who tried to, like, actually replicate that, where I said, I'm going to take a sound that's commercial, I'm going to tweak it slightly so it's something new that the populace hasn't seen before. Like, trying to do something that's definitely rock, that's definitely recognizable as rock, mm-hmm. but just outside of the box enough where it's something original. And, trying to market something original is insanely difficult.
Right.
And, you know, it's been one of the problems with the band, and that's why we're actually changing the direction, because it might have been too hard to market because people didn't understand what it was. Right. And so the fact that Kiss had this original idea where, yes, they had the influences, but it was a wholly original thing.
Yeah.
And to have those songs on the first album that were just so great right off the back, like, you know, they don't get nearly enough credit for having their vision at the beginning. Like, yes, they grew and became better, but to be that visionary at the beginning of their career, I know they like to say, oh, we just sort of stumbled into it.
No, I'm gonna
give them credit, because I wish more bands did what they do, where they took the time to rehearse and, like, you know, refine their sound and refine their image before they even played a single show.
And I think some of that credit also should go to Sean Delaney and Billy Coyne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because of...
Expecting more out of what they're promoting. Yeah.
Especially Sean Delaney, because he came from that theatrical background, and he knew he was watching for what things looked appealing while they're just in the middle of and they're in a loft, you know, barely making any money. But he'll see him sway back and forth a certain way. Nope, you need to do that, or you need to do this, or Gene, you shouldn't smile, you're a demon, you need to act like this. Like, he was a great, I hate to say puppet master, but he kind of was. Like,
choreographer.
Yeah, he was
a
choreographer, really, for the original band. And and then Billy Coyne having the money to back them.
Right.
You know, it was a great team they had behind
them. They were going to pay you enough to stop your day jobs and just practice your asses off, so when the time does come, You're kicking ass right off the start. You know, there's no upswing, you know, no easing into it. You got to be firing at all cylinders right at the beginning.
The Coventry show that they had in the Kissology, like, they were nobodies at the time, but they had their whole show pretty much down pat.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's like, and the thing is, the stuff that, you know, Sean Delaney taught Kiss is stuff that I think should be obvious for bands, but is so counterintuitive. And so that's why it's so fascinating that it worked. Yeah. Because, you know, trying to work with band members saying, hey, we should choreograph this part of the show, and then there's just, you know, the whole resistance to it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you look at these huge bands that are super successful, like, they decided, hey, let's have a consistent image. Let's have a consistent sound. Let's refine the show. Like, that's, you know, people say, oh, it's too rehearsed. Like, whatever. Like, it's a good show. It's right. Cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of musical theater and, you know, having someone tighten up your act. I think having a tight stage show isn't a negative thing. It blows my mind when people, like, bitch about Kiss. Like, oh, they use pyro. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. They decided to make the show awesome. I'm sorry. Your shows suck.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm being a fucking purist.
Go to Bonnaroo or something, you know, yeah. See some bands playing in a mud pit.
And look, that's not to say I don't like a lot of those bands. Like, I think Springsteen's great, and I know there's a lot of, like, Kiss versus Springsteen, like, people like one or the other. I think there's room for both, but to have people, like, shit on Kiss for performing well is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
There's a place for all of it.
You know, and as I'm listening to, I was listening to Revenge earlier today, and just how tight the musicianship is, and people saying that Kiss can't play. I'm like, are you nuts?
Especially
that story
lineup,
about
wow.
you know, telling the story about playing a girl unplugged, and she thought, well,
yeah, my girlfriend,
Kiss,
yeah.
They suck. You know, no, listen to this, watch this.
And she actually got angry because she's watching. We got through three songs, and she's just sort of sitting there stirring. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? She's like, it sounds good, damn it. She's yeah, like, so I have to admit, they're actually good.
Yeah, like...
She was expecting for them to suck.
Right.
And the thing is, like, you know, Paul Stanley is one of the great rock vocalists. Like, whether you like Kiss or don't like Kiss, you can't put on, let's say, like, I Will Be There from Carnival of Souls and can't say that's a great vocal. Like, you can't deny the power of Paul Stanley as a vocalist, like the range, the tonality, the emotion.
Pre-2006.
Yeah,
yes.
Back in...
Asterisk. Pre-2006. And actually, that's something I consider myself super blessed and lucky, because if I had seen Kiss a tour later...
Yeah, it would have been a different...
I might not have become a music fan.
Right.
Yeah.
But I saw them, like, last tour he was able to sing and pull it off.
Yeah.
And I am so lucky, because he was great on Rock the Nation. He still had it. I loved it. It was awesome.
That was a tour I regret not going to see, because I was still kind of bitter about the makeup thing.
Yeah.
And I skipped it.
I thought it was Ace and Peter.
Yeah, but I knew it wasn't, and I was like, I'm not going to go. And I should have gone.
Yeah, no, it was life changing.
Yeah, they had a good set list on that tour.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
because a year later difference could have made, you know?
Right, because if not for that, I wouldn't be living in Nashville. I wouldn't have made the, you know, the friends I've made, because most of my friends I've made through music, and even like my other like entertainment industry friends, like voice actors and stuff, I met them because like, oh, my band was playing a convention. Oh, sweet, now I'm friends with this dude. So like, most of the people I've met in my life have been because of me gigging, doing bands, and, you know, lately doing the podcasting, so which I wouldn't have done if it wasn't just a cheap commercial for my band. So,
but it all started with Kiss.
Right, it all started with Kiss. And even though I love the Beatles more on a visceral level, the Beatles were not enough to turn me into a music fan. Kiss turned me into a music fan and a musician, and that is huge.
Yeah.
And so, I've heard that from a number of other musicians.
Sure.
Well, our friend Philip Schaus, that's what really kind of turned the switch on for him, was he started playing along to Kiss records as a young guitar player and was like, I can actually play this stuff.
I mean, even Dimebag Darrell, you know, you go all the way down the line with that.
They're the greatest gateway drug for music fans. They really are.
Oh, and just so many people, like, you know, Tom Morello, Billy Corgan, all kinds of musicians. It's not just the hair metal bros.
No. That was always my favorite thing about the grunge movement.
All the people
was being able to stick it back
them.
In people's faces and be like, what are you talking about? Billy Corgan loves Kiss, you know?
Right.
That's great.
Or Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, you know?
Yes.
Giant Ace Frehley fan,
yeah.
You know? But yeah, that was the 90s was kind of like when the worm started turning a little bit. Because in the late 80s, Aaron remembers, it was not an easy time to be a Kiss fan, especially when they're putting out Let's Put the X in Sex.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
So I'm going to be honest, I think that song is great. But
Of course you do.
But the thing...
It ain't in the top five worst,
I'm imitating Baca when we went over to your house. Every time that Greg would say something kind of weird, Baca would be like, of course you do.
But like, admittedly, I love Kiss, but I have like a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor about a lot of
you
it.
Have
where,
to.
Because like...
Otherwise, you'd end up... if you don't have a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor about it, you end up on like Facebook groups, Vinnie Vincent, full shred. It's like that. Hey, man, it's bad. It's not good.
Yeah. But, like, you know, look, Read My Body's a goofy song, and I love it because it's goofy. It makes me smile. Let's Put the X in Sex is goofy, and it makes me smile because it's goofy. Like, the sillier it is.
What were you yelling at Gene Simmons that night to play?
Oh, what was
all kinds of stupid?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I think I was. I think I shouted like "Burn, bitch, sleeps. Burn."
I was doing it with him, so I have to take some of the blame too.
You know, that's maybe that's why
two songs
under the rose.
You know what? And that might explain why he was a dick to me in the parking lot afterwards.
Did you meet him in the parking lot?
I should maybe not talk about that.
Yeah, it's only a handful of people that's going to hear this.
Right. Basically, just Gene and I had a little run-in, and he was I was very polite, and he was not as polite, and I don't want to get more into it. Let's just say, in terms of meeting your heroes, it's probably the single most disappointing because, like, I wasn't expecting him to be that mean.
He was just not in the mood, huh?
I mean, wasn't in the mood.
Listen to me, kid. When I come to your town and I play for free two songs, you don't stand out here in the crowd and yell, "Play Burn, Bitch, Burn."
That's fair. But no, like, so the thing is, I actually decided to leave the show early just because I felt, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm done. I've got work in the morning, whatever. And the thing is, I left the same time as Gene, so we crossed paths. And so I was like, you know, hey.
Play Burn, Bitch, Burn.
No, I said, hey, man, you know, you did a really great set. Good job. And he said, thank you. And I was like, hey, I don't mean to be a bother, but I know you've done A&R in the past. I happen to have a CD of mine with you.
You pitched to him.
I did, because I'm like, look, this is like my shot.
Oh, sure, I don't blame you. Why not?
Because I'm a young and hungry musician trying to make it.
You're going to regret it if
you don't. I'm going to regret it if I don't. And this is, you know, he's done A&R work in the past, so it's not like it's completely out of reach. Right, but then he just like, straight up just turned his back, wouldn't look at me, and just wouldn't respond. I'm like, all right, sorry. You know, didn't mean to be rude, walked away. But I was like, you know, I would have appreciated a polite no as opposed to just turn his back. But I get it. Yeah. You know, probably gets approached with that kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so, like, and so the thing is, I'm still a huge Kiss fan. You know, he's been good to my buds. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna, you know, hate Gene Simmons for being rude to me once, because he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know my story. I understand, you know, he has his own thing. So it's disappointing for me. I would have preferred just being polite about it. But, I mean, I get it. You know, it's kind of a bummer.
Maybe you should have told
Especially since his guitar player, Phil, played on the damn CD.
Yeah. Ah, you should have told him that.
Maybe you should tell him. You should have led
Check out the new Phil Schultz CD. Yeah.
Right. I should have done that. But it's, you know, it's a bummer, especially considering, like, Phil was on the CD. Mm-hmm. He, like, played on two of the songs. Like, ah, oh, man, this hurts a little bit. But, like, I get it. Like, I get his perspective.
Kudos for taking a shot at doing it, man.
I took a shot, and I was polite. Awesome. I was polite about it. Like,
maybe there's a reason. Maybe his lawyers told him, do not ever take music from somebody, because if you do, they can turn around and sue you and say you ripped off one of their songs.
And
because he probably did.
And yeah, like I said, I get it. I'm still a Kiss fan. I haven't sold my CDs, but I'm going to be honest. It was a bit of a bummer, because most of my heroes that I've interacted with have been super cool and super supportive. Like, right. Jim Steinman, you guys know what a big Jim Steinman fan I am.
Yeah.
He's been nothing but supportive, like, my entire music career. Like, giving me, like, advice and feedback, and been super cool. And all the people in, like, the Jim Steinman camp, like Carla DeVito and Rory Dodd, just nice, nice, nice people. And so, like, you know, these other heroes of mine that I've met and got to work with in some capacity, like the guys in Stars, like, right, you know, they've all been super cool. And so to have, like, Kiss, like, you know, have that interaction, I've had good interactions with Paul and Bruce and Eric, but to have, like, Gene do that, like, given, like, what a big fan I am, and, like, how much, like, stuff in the industry I've done with different people.
But he don't know that.
Yeah, he doesn't know that. But I guess that's where the bummer is, because, like, meeting these other people in the industry who are super cool and super supportive, and then meeting someone who, you know, all right, having an off night, but it's still a bummer.
Yeah.
If you had said how much you love Silent Rage, maybe he would.
Yeah, I'm like, I really loved Silent Rage.
What you did for them. I think you could do the same for us.
Las Netto rules.
Will you please listen to my cover of House of a Thousand Pleasures?
If you could only get us to EZO levels, yeah.
Right.
We would be satisfied.
We'd be happy with that.
I'm going to be honest. I'd be satisfied if I was at EZO level, because that's a fucking great band.
Sell albums today as EZO sold back then, which wasn't much back then.
You'd be number one
but
on the charts.
It's a lot now.
Yeah, and that's a great album. Like they put out some great music, and I love the stuff. Yamada, I think the guy's name, and I love the stuff he did with Loudness. Like, he did some albums with them that were pretty cool.
Right on.
Well,
we got turned on to some Japanese metal not too long ago. I'm a big fan of Sekima too. Have you ever seen any of that?
I listened to the Japanese metal episode. The thing is, with Japanese music, I'm more of a Japanese rock guy than a Japanese metal guy. So
you gotta check out Sekima too. They could work like their own Kiss
makeup. Yeah, no, I saw the band. I listened to a little bit of them, but the thing is, like, I'm more into like 70s and 80s Japanese rock band. So there's a band called Passion Rose. They're basically just Japanese Motley Crue.
Oh, right.
And it's fucking killer. It's just they look like Motley Crue, but they're Japanese, and they sound like Motley Crue, but like good, not shitty Motley Crue. So it's great.
Right on.
So we need to have a
What's
Japanese
up with that,
rock
Kevin
episode.
Williams? What about Passion Rose?
I mean, he really dropped the ball by not mentioning Passion Rose. Calling you out, Kevin.
You were the one person that chimed in and said, here's the stuff you missed. Because like everybody else was like, I don't know any of these
people. Right? I was like, you really missed out on the awesome. Like, I was actually sharing some Japanese music with Christine Wolf from the pop podcast.
Right on.
And like showing her like some 60s Japanese psychedelic.
Oh, wow.
And like, there's so much great stuff. The thing about like, people immediately write off like, oh, it's Japanese, it's weird. Like, no, it's, well, yes, it's weird, but it's as weird as American or British music. It's
to
just
anybody else, yeah.
There's, it's basically, they're just singing in a different language, but musically, if there's something you like in English, there's probably a Japanese equivalent.
Oh, totally. Right.
And
totally
so, is. Like, I kind of try to open my mind musically and try to check out stuff from other countries. So I listen to a lot of stuff from Japan, stuff from China, stuff from Korea. I'm trying to find awesome French hair metal. That's like the goal that I've been like working towards.
You should talk to BJ. Do you ever listen to Rock and or Roll?
I listen to it sometimes, yeah.
Ask him for anything, he's probably got it.
All right, because I need
obscure the better.
I just want some French hair metal. For some reason, I think that'd
be
awesome.
Because he specializes in hair metal that is rare and hard to find.
I hope he has. I heard this like cover of Hide Your Heart in Russian one time that I thought was rad as shit, and I cannot find it anywhere in the internet, and it's bothering me. Because
I asked the White House? No, I'm sorry.
Bruno on the rooftop.
Bruno on the rooftop. He's the king of the gulag.
We're talking a lot about Kiss.
Bruno,
as we get into...
he's the czar of the rule of the gulag. Should rewrite Hide Your Heart with a Russian
the translation
references.
Of the Russian lyrics.
Isn't it weird that like the president of the United States has a relationship with Gene Simmons and Dee Snider? Like, anyone else think that's kind of weird?
He's also in the Wrestling Hall
cool.
of Fame.
Yeah, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's great.
I mean, look, I can't think
that
of...
That was enough right there to make me vote for him.
Can you think of any other presidents that have survived the Stone Cold Stunner? I mean, I can't think of one.
Not any.
Oh, we're not going into politics.
I'm just saying, like...
Only politics spelled with a P-A-U-L. Oh, man. But yeah, although the KISS army is about as divided as the country is right now.
Yeah.
What's crazy. All right. So, as a younger KISS fan, what is your take on the current state of the band? What do you think of the lip syncing?
I think that it is great, and I, you know, hashtag hot take Troyan. Here, because also the hot take thing is dumb because like my edgy hot take of like thinking the Beatles are the greatest band of all time. Like, I'm not just contrarian for the sake of it. It's just my opinions.
I think the majority of the earth probably actually agrees with you.
Right, but people say I've got these like hot take bullshit opinions about things. I'm just
sometimes
like
sometimes you do.
I mean, but also you have to remember I grew up
it's
you
a
know,
different point of view though.
Yeah. Well, think about this. I went to high school from like 2004 to 2008 and was defending KISS among millennials. So like I got just used
You've
to people I just got used to people thinking my opinions are bullshit. That's just like so that's why I don't even get fazed by it. But
anybody that's a KISS fan's gone through that.
Yeah, right.
No matter what
but
era.
But like
right,
a millennial, exactly. Like that that's like hard mode being a KISS fan. When they're like, I like My Chemical Romance and Flyleaf. I'm like, yeah, but have you heard Take It Off? So, but with the lip syncing, it is preferable that Kiss does not lip sync. But at this point, Paul cannot sing.
Right.
It breaks my heart, but he cannot. And he is, like I said earlier, one of the greatest vocalists in rock history.
Yes.
And he, up to 2006, like, could, you know, even on the Live to Win tour, was still singing great live.
Mm-hmm.
And doing very difficult vocal stuff. Still sounds good in the studio. I know that some people have critiques with Sonic Boom and Monster. I have critiques with the songwriting, but in terms of Paul's performance, I'm totally fine with it. It's raspy, but he's still hitting the right notes.
Yeah, I like those. Right
live, notes. He's not hitting the right notes, mm-hmm. and it's painful to listen to. And when I went to go see them on the Alive 35 tour,
yeah,
I was disappointed. I thought to myself, I shouldn't have spent money on these Kiss tickets.
Damn.
And You've heard my story about how important Kiss was to my life.
Right.
Right.
So to regret spending money on Kiss tickets,
it's hard, man.
It's hard. And I have friends, you know, Stephen Smith, you know, who I do the podcast with, and Stephen Edwards, you know, who you've, you know, seen on a couple episodes with us. And he's, you know, a millennial. He's into alt rock and stuff. But he wants to see Kiss on this final tour because he's interested and he's never seen Kiss.
Nice.
And he wants to go for the experience. And I think to myself, everyone should have the ability to experience a Kiss show. And so I got to experience a Kiss show where I bought into the magic of it.
Right.
I didn't, you know it wasn't the original guys. I just knew it was Kiss and it was magical and it was awesome.
Yep, that's exactly like what I was saying on the New Noise. The young kids that were you at one point now, you know, that are their parents or their cool uncles or whoever are bringing them to the Kiss show for their first time,
right?
Last time,
yeah.
Would you rather have Paul sounding 100%, or would you rather have him croaking?
And
up
the
there?
Thing is, like, you know, if they couldn't, if there was the kind of, if it was like a Milli Vanilli situation where they were never able to sing, although the Milli Vanilli guys actually could sing, and that was a weird situation. But it, you know, if it was like Paul was never a good singer, it'd be one thing.
Right.
But he's one of the best singers in rock.
Right.
The reason he can't sing is because he gave it all his all for like
true.
50 years.
Yep.
But here's my my devil's advocate argument, though, because I'm going to the Nashville show. I'm going to go and have fun.
I'm not going to be there because that's my wedding anniversary, and I feel like getting laid, you know, at some point in my life. After that, so
well, that's plenty of time after the Kiss concert. Bring her down, you know, a little foreplay with Kiss, and then back on home
but
and celebrate.
I might hit up like one of the nearby shows that, but like on the anniversary,
a little exposed in the video.
I'm telling you,
player.
that is not happening. If I want a happy wife, I'm not going to Kiss on her anniversary.
But all I'm going to say...
Hit up the Louisville show, Greg.
All I'm going to say, though, is the devil's advocate argument, though, is I don't begrudge anybody for not going because of the lip syncing, because the issue is they're not being honest about it. That's the problem. They've spent the last few years, Gene and Paul both in interviews, talking about how what we do is real. We don't agree with backing tracks. We don't agree with anything. And they've spouted off a lot against it. And now they're going out with a show where they're doing it and they're not being honest about it. If they would just say, look, if Paul just came out and said, look, my voice isn't what it used to be. I'm having a little help to give the best show I can. I think a lot of people would just forgive it.
But how many casual fans would that turn off? Well, I ain't going to see Kiss.
It would turn off the casual fans.
And it would, and it's a business decision. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you can't begrudge a diehard fan for feeling bitter about it, though.
I don't, but also they're not at this point, they're not denying anything.
Right.
Like, they're neither confirming nor denying. They're not commenting on it.
Right.
And
yeah,
the thing
no
about
comment.
Kiss, I love Kiss, but they've been very hypocritical throughout their career about so many things. They've gone back and forth.
Yeah, but they've always played live.
This
is a bit of a sticking point. And I know, and Craig Smith is listening right now, so I know his head is exploding from what
yeah, and look, I mean, Craig, I get it, but I think to myself of, you know, because like my stepson has shown interest in going to a Kiss show. And so I'm thinking about the kids who want to experience the magic of it.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying they're getting flack because they haven't been honest about it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Well, I agree with that. What I'm saying is...
Hey, are you saying you need a couple of babysitters the night of the Kiss show? You can find one more ticket and take this kid to Kiss.
My buddy that I grew up with will probably end up bailing on me anyway, so I'll have an extra ticket probably.
What I'm saying is I'm not viewing this show as for the diehards.
It's not.
I'm viewing this as a last chance for people who never got to experience it The same way where, like, you go to a Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, you're going to experience the theatrics, the show.
But you're having to alter your expectations for it to work.
Right.
Right. It's kind of like going to a pro wrestling show where you have to flip the switch in your head and watch it as if it's real to get the full enjoyment of it. And when it's over, you turn off that switch and go, that was a fun show because that was this whole thing.
I'm still looking forward to going and seeing an entertaining show and hearing a bunch of songs that I like. So I don't I don't begrudge people that don't want to go and they're unhappy about it. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I don't begrudge anyone for not wanting to go, but as a younger fan who, you know, especially with my perspective of if I had gone a tour later, I would not be a music fan. The magic wouldn't be in my life. Like, I totally get that. And I totally get, you know, the whole, like, the show must go on, the sleight of hand of the magician, where the magician doesn't reveal how they do their tricks.
Or the painter opening up the show.
Or the painter opening up the show. But I think the magic for the new fans is worth the old fans who were already angry and bitter anyway.
Oh, I'm sure that's why they went forward with it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, we're probably not going to get you guys in the building anyway, so we're just going to do this.
Well, I mean, that's what they've been doing all along anyway. It's not like they've been, other than the Kiss cruises, not busting out a lot of deep tracks.
But like, hey, they're doing Hide Your Heart, which is super cool for me.
It is pretty cool.
But they haven't really catered to the diehards in a long time.
No.
This isn't new. I mean, they cater to the tire kicker fan that, like, oh, I've heard of Kiss.
Well,
I'd like to go see them.
They want to
they cater to my dad.
They want to lay their legacy to the people that have never heard them before, but may have peripherally picked up something over the years, and they want to play to, like you said, your dad. The
guy who owns Rock and Roll Over but doesn't own the whole catalog. Right. Like, I like Kiss. I'll go to a show.
Yeah. Know most of the songs.
Well, and financially, it's worked for them. I mean, they're selling well.
Yeah.
But for those of us who struggled through the 90s with them when they were playing fucking hotel ballrooms, it feels kind of shitty. It's like, play a fucking rare song once in a while, damn it. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, there's room in the set to do it.
Do one rotating,
spot. Pick like 10 songs and say, you know Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer can knock them out.
Right.
You know that Gene's been in practice because he's been out there with Ryan and Phil and Jeremy and those guys.
And there's enough Memorex tape for Paul.
And there's enough. You just pull the old tapes, the old ass tape.
Is it Paul Stanley or is it Memorex?
Right.
Oh, we know the answer.
And then just have it like every city, you just have one weird song in the middle.
Trade it
for
out.
People
not...
to just to be like, what?
Do you?
And then when it's all said and done, what do people talk about? Well, in my town, they played The Oath.
Yeah.
You know? Town. They played, you know, anything for my baby.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Is the crowd really going wild for 100,000 years?
In my town, they played Don't Touch My Ascot, and it was great.
There you go. That's what you get. That's the Torpedo Dudes.
And I got to give a shout out to Pete LaRussa and the guys in Space Beard for our awesome theme song.
Oh, man. I love that theme song so much.
And I appreciate everything they did. They went into a studio to actually record that.
I know.
So, really incredible.
It's so cool. I love it.
Love them. So I've got a little bit of news for Rockin' Pod Expo.
Yes. I could feel it in the air, man. I knew it was time.
And I thought I would give – I'm going to give you guys, the Decibel Geek faithful, a little bit more information than what I've announced so far. Because what we've already announced as of this recording, we announced the dates. That's all we've announced so far. Rockin' Pod 2019 will happen on August 9th and 10th. The Friday night will be the 9th. That'll be a pre-party concert. And then the next day will be the expo on the 10th. The venue, which I have not announced yet, is the Nashville Airport Marriott. And don't book your room just yet, because when I announce next Friday all of this officially, there will be a code that you can book your room through that will get you a discounted rate.
Right. And then it lumps us all right together.
Yes. And that's the best way to fund the expo, is to book a room for those two nights.
It'll be the coolest floor in the whole Marriott.
And also, the pre-party concert will be on-site at the hotel in the ballroom. So you won't have to go to another venue or anything for the pre-party concert. It's all going to be on-site.
I love that so much because you can party hard the night before and then still drag yourself up for the expo the next day, and it's just downstairs.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Last year, I went home, got up, showered and all that stuff, and drove all the way back into Nashville.
None of that this year.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, come down and join us. Stay for both nights. As I said, I'll announce the group rate next week with a special code you can put in. But, yeah, I'm working on guests. I'm working on bands for the pre-party. It's going to be huge. The expo will be different this year. We will have podcasts on site that are registering. We're also going to have an education track in a different room where if you're interested in becoming a music podcaster or just a podcaster in general, we're going to have speakers and workshops telling you how to do it. If you're already a podcaster, it's worth doing that because you're going to get tips and tricks on building your social media, getting more downloads, getting more, getting press releases out there.
Yep. I'm going to have a special panel about podcasting fashion.
Oh boy.
It's going to be great.
Bring your silver jacket. But that's going to be the venue, and I'll be announcing, podcast registration, ticketing, all that stuff will be next week. It's being done differently this year, but I think everyone's going to really enjoy how we do it this time.
I'm so excited, man. I can't wait for more and more announcements to come out. It's going to get so exciting as we get closer and closer and closer to those dates, August 9th and 10th. So don't book the room yet.
Not yet.
But go ahead and tell your bosses you're not going to be there those days.
You can plan your travel now.
You're going to be in Music City with us.
Yeah, go ahead and block out your vacation time and get ready to come to Nashville. It's going to be fun.
Shoot, yeah, I can't wait for that. So, as always, you guys, just stay tuned with us. If you don't like us on Facebook yet, you better get on there and do it because a lot of the announcements are going to be released through there. So, get on over there. Coxie's running the Facebook page for us. And, man, he's been killing it over there. He's putting all kinds of cool stuff on. People are responding to it, conversating about it, and that's what it's all about on our Facebook page, getting rock and rollers together and getting them talking to each other, forging friendships through the power of rock and roll.
Yeah, great stuff.
And Facebook.
And Facebook.
And of course, don't forget Decibel Geek TV over on the YouTube. We got Rock and Ron Runyon. He's captaining the ship over there and making things happen. Mm-hmm. Brand new videos up by Mike Tramp. That's really cool. He's got this Wolfpack thing going on in Denver. That's pretty damn awesome. You want to check that out.
Yep.
And all the other cool things going on Decibel Geek TV on YouTube. Do that. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. And of course, decibelgeek.com. That's where it all originates from.
Yep.
That's where we got all our awesome journalists. I mean, they're still out there. So they're still cranking out the articles, the reviews, the concert experiences, the photographs, all that cool stuff. It all goes down at decibelgeek.com. And is there a website yet for Rockin' Pod?
Well, it's rockinpod.com, but right now there's just a splash page on there because we're building a new version of the website also that will be unveiled next week.
Yeah, so keep checking back on that too, because that thing, I'm told,
it's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Bigger, better, cooler. It's gonna be year three, and we're going bigger and better.
Shoot, yeah, I'm so excited. At the Steve Marriott Memorial Hotel right here in Music City.
I love that you came up with that.
Come celebrate the rock and roll with us.
Yeah. But so as we said before, I hope you enjoyed Torpedo Dude. Sign up on Patreon if you like that. It's available at the lowest at the dollar tier. So easy to get access to.
Make it easy for you.
And I hope you enjoyed Torpedo Dudes this week.
Well, this is it, Chris.
Yep. Last time we're going to be talking on mics in the studio.
Well, this has been awesome.
Yep.
The show rolls on. We'll have a whole new studio next time.
Yeah, we will. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.